Blog Talk Radio.
Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, at Miracle Temple, where Christ lives in me.
Welcome to Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Apostle Amanda Walker Bryant wants to make sure you get all that you need through the Word of God. Let us join Apostle Bryant as she teaches the infallible Word of God.
Acts 16, beginning at 25 and ending at 26. Acts 16, beginning at 25 and ending at verse 26. And the Word of God now reads, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose." Let me say this again. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose." Prayer and praise open doors. Prayer and praise open doors. And this is what God was doing in this room today. We have to understand that this is one thing that the enemy don't want us to do. He don't want us to pray, because when you pray, you are communing with God. You are communicating with God. And when you communicate with God, that means that you're saying, "God, I'm not dependent on me. I'm not relying and trusting in me. I'm trusting in you." We got to understand that Paul and Silas was in a situation. Before they were through in prison, they were beaten. They had on, chains. They were in prison. They were in lockdown. But in spite of their situation, they knew what prayer and praise would do. Now, when you are in a relationship with God and you commune with him and communicate with him on a daily basis, you know that you're trusting in him with all your heart, leaning not to your own understanding, but acknowledging him in all your ways, knowing that he shall direct my path. So Paul and Silas was used to this. They were knowing that no matter where I go, no matter what goes on, God is in the midst of us, because he's in us, because he's dwelling in us. And we have to let him out. How do we let him out? Through prayer. When you begin to pray, something begins to happen in the atmosphere. There's a stirring that goes on. How do I know this? Because when you pray in the will of God. You pray in the Word of God, and his Word is his final authority. And the Bible says that God said his Word ain't coming back void, but it's going out to accomplish that which he pleased and prosper in the thing that he sent it to do. The devil don't want you to pray. He don't want you to come into communication with God, because he know there's power in prayer. That's why he said when two or three come together, he said, "I'm in the midst of you." a sweet aroma unto God. So God is saying today that there's power in your prayer, but where is your prayer life? Do you spend time with God? Do you spend enough time with God to know when God is speaking, to know the direction that God would have you to go in? See, Paul and them was in prison. That means they were in lockdown. But in spite of where they were, in spite of the stripes that they had on their back, it did not stop them from praying and praising God, because they knew the God that they served. So God wants us to know today, you got to know the God that you serve. You got to know him as God and know that he will never, ever leave you, nor shall he forsake you. Why? Because he is God. When God was taking me through the word of God, he was showing me how prayer affects individual lives. We know about Daniel, y'all. We know what happened to Daniel. When we're serving the Lord, we should be different from everybody else. They should see the favor that's coming upon us when it looked like we shouldn't have got no favor. They should see things around us change when it looked like there is no change. See, Daniel was sent to Babylon for a reason. He was sent there to let them know that there's still a God in Babylon. And it's not your God, it is my God. So as Daniel was so perfected in what he did, they couldn't find nothing wrong with Daniel. They tried to find something wrong, but they saw how he was excellent in spirit. But they said, I know what we can do. We can find something on Daniel concerning his God. How many know that the devil watch you? How many know that he watch what you do on a daily basis? He watch the room that you go into and pray on a daily basis. So if the enemy can go in and try to disturb what you're doing, he knows that you're not going to receive anything, because he's going to bring total corruption in prayer. But this is what happened. They said, okay, we'll find something on his God. So what did they find on Daniel? They found Daniel praying three times a day. See, they was watching Daniel's life. The enemy is watching your life. See, Daniel didn't only just pray in his mind, but Daniel had a place of prayer. So you got to have a place of prayer where you meet God on a daily basis, saying, God, this is our meeting place. This is where we get intimate every day. Even though you own a job, it can be a bathroom stall that you go to every day to meet with God, and immediately when you come out and somebody go in, they go, whoo, I must be dizzy today. It must be something I take. No, it's just the power of prayer that was left behind in that stall. It may be somebody that been constipated for days, and then they go in the same stall, and then they're like, well, glory be to God. Yeah, glory be to God, because it was the glory that was left in the stall, because it's the power of prayer. So Daniel had a meeting place, and the enemy was watching him. When he would go in that place, don't think you ain't being watched. Don't think that the enemy don't know where you meet God every morning and every evening and every night, because the enemy know how your heart is turned before God. So as they were watching Daniel, they went to the king, and they said that we got to get a decree that says that anybody that pray to any other god except you, O king, that he's going to be put in the lion's den. Come on, a king that's in a high position, that thinks he's high and lifted up, what he's going to do is get high-minded and say, oh, well, that is right. I am the king, so nobody shouldn't go to nobody except me. So he signed the decree. He sealed that thing. So when Daniel heard that the decree was signed, Daniel did what he always done. Daniel went to his room. He opened his windows towards Jerusalem, and he began to pray just like he always prayed. Why? Because Daniel had more trust in God than he had in man. He had so much trust in God, he said, it don't matter what they do or how they do it, it's not going to stop me from doing what I need to do. And y'all know as Daniel prayed, they threw him in the lion's den, but the king, he didn't really want Daniel to go in the lion's den, but because he signed the decree, he had to honor what he signed, because it could not be altered. So they threw Daniel in the lion's den. And how about the king? He was up fasting. He couldn't sleep. And he went the next day and said, oh, Daniel. Oh, Daniel. Daniel said, here I am, king. He said, my God sent an angel. And he shut the lion's mouth. So at that point, the same one that had Daniel thrown in the lion's den were the same ones, their family, their children, and understand. Because if you have a prayer life and you communicating with God, just like he did with Jehoshaphat, when it was these kings coming up against him, I think it was three kings coming up against him. He heard about it. And did fear come to Jehoshaphat? Of course it did. Fear came, but he turned away from that fear, and he began to pray unto God. He began to fast, but he began to give praises unto God. He began to tell God what he done for them and how he did it for them. He began to turn his heart to God because he knew it's not in me, God. It is in you. So, God, I'd rather come to you and have confidence in you than have confidence in the flesh. So he began to remind God of what he has done. And sometimes, y'all know, all the time, we have to remind ourselves of what God done for us. That's what praise is. It's reminding God of what he's done. So when you come into prayer, the Bible says that you enter his gates with thanksgiving. That means I'm not going to come before God with an ungrateful heart. I'm going to be thankful for the things that he has done. The Bible says, in all things we give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because we know that God brought us out then and God will bring us out now. He said, in all your circumstances, no matter what it looked like, you begin to give him glory. Because prayer and praise, we open doors. So we see how God is telling us we will enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. See, when you enter those gates, you're supposed to already be thankful. Because you know, and it was nothing that you have done. It's no good in this room that anybody has ever done. It is because of Jesus, because of who he is, and for him not having no sin, who became sin for us, so we can become the righteousness of God through him. So that's where the thanksgiving coming in. We're being thankful. We're being grateful because we're saying, God, I haven't even got to the courts, but I know I got to bring some praise in the court because there's a lamb that's on that altar, God. That burnt sacrifice is there, and I'm going to give you some high praise because I got a way to come through the gate through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can go to the Father except through him. So that's when them high praises begin to be lifted up because you're looking at him and what he has done. See, if you can't get past the gate, it ain't going to happen. Some people have gotten saved but don't know why they saved. See, I was one of those. I accepted salvation because they told me I had to. Yeah, you got to be saved. I accepted because I thought if I was saved, I'd get over depression quick, fast, in a hurry. So I said, all right, now I'm going to accept this thing and I'm going to come back to myself. Didn't happen. But I'm here to tell you I didn't go back to the way I was. I stayed with God because God had a calling on my life. And days that I didn't feel like saying anything, days I didn't feel like lifting him up, those were days that I had to press my way through. See, I didn't even know that I was praying to God when I couldn't even open my mouth, because sometimes when you're down and out, you can't even say a word. The only thing you can do is moan. The only thing you can do is groan. But my Bible tells me that the Holy Spirit, he intercedes on my behalf with moanings and groanings that cannot even be uttered, and he takes them to the Father on my behalf. And all of a sudden, things began to change in my life because God knew my heart. And all of a sudden, I began to have a praise that was on the inside that had to come on the outside. See, some of y'all see the glory, but you don't know some people's story. You don't know where they've been. You don't know what they've been through. But when they begin to dance, when they begin to shout, when they begin to hoop, when they begin to holler, don't tell them to hush. You don't know where they've been. Come on, you know real praisers. Real praisers ain't worrying about who's on their row. They're going up and down the row backwards. Hallelujah. Woo, thank you. Woo, Jesus. party just getting started. Say the party just getting started. No matter where you are, you should raise the roof for Jesus. And that's where Paul and Silas were. They were in a dungeon, apostle. It was dark down there. But they said, we know how to get the party started. So they began to give praise to God. They began to sing unto him. Because they said, the Bible said, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. So they took the breath, which was the breath of life, that was in their body, and they began to make a joyful noise. And I believe they say, I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me, I will bless his holy name. And I believe Paul and Silas said, and I'm not going to forget none of his benefits. And I believe they began to say, who forgave all my iniquity, who healed all my diseases. And I believe they began to say, so come on and bless the Lord. And that's what God is saying. We cannot forget what he's done for us. No matter what situation we get in, our soul has to begin to magnify, to glorify the Lord. See, the spirit is already there, but the soul is what needs to grab hold to what's already in the spirit. So can you imagine? This is what happened. As Paul and Silas begin to sing praises, begin to pray, the Bible says the prisoners heard them. So see, I believe that the praises they were singing was representing King of Kings. It was representing Lord of Lords. And they got happy with it. So everybody in prison began to hear this, and let's see what happened. The Bible says, and suddenly, look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, and suddenly, there was a great earthquake. See, when an earthquake is coming, that means it's starting from ground up, ain't it? You feel a moving and a shaking and going on. You know something is getting ready to happen. So they said that an earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately, check this, all the doors. What am I saying to you? You may have many doors that's been shut in your life, and it may even look like it's been centuries, and they will not come open. But I'm here to tell you, when you begin to pray and you begin to praise God with your whole heart, the Bible says there's a suddenly that's going to happen in your life. And you're going to know that suddenly because the foundation around you is going to begin to shake. He said all the doors, not only for you, but for somebody else. See, not only did Paul and Silas get loose, but the people that was around them got loosed as well. I want to ask you a question. What's wrong with the house of God? Because if it's somebody that's praising God with their whole heart, somebody's supposed to be loose, Brother John. If somebody on one row is beginning to lift up his name, but you think that God is just going to stay there? He's going to let you know I'm on your road. And all of a sudden, there's going to be, she's going to be like a boat rocking. Then all of a sudden, she's going to start, and it's going to radiate in Miss Mary. Then it starts radiating all over the, and you're like, woo, I know it ain't nothing I done. It had to be, it got to be God, because he didn't touch me. I just heard the high praises of God coming out of his mouth and a two-edged sword in his hand. So God said, what in the world is going on in my house? If this happened with Paul and of y'all know about the big four up in here. It was a dungeon. But they were rocking the house, wasn't Angelo? In that dungeon. Foundation shaking. Flowing, but so big. And they're doing the dog. Doing the butt. Doing all kind of stuff. And then people on the outskirts looking at them and saying, then all of a sudden they see something going. You doing a little stuff. Then you got your butt out, rolling it. And said you didn't know how to do the butt. How in the world can the devil rock the house like that? And God has given us the power and the dominion and the right. And we won't even lift a finger. I want to say this. I got to pick on Eunice. Eunice, I got to pick on you. When that song they were singing one Sunday sound like the blues. And Eunice told me, she said she was up there like this. It took her back. She, what that mean in the club, somebody? It made Eunice move. Won't the devil do it? Unknowingly. But she knew something ain't right. Because I'm hearing something I shouldn't be hearing. That ain't what Rico's singing. And then I saw my little Rico. Y'all know Rico get happy. Then I'm seeing my little Judah round in like the Supremes. I walked through the door and said, the devil is alive. And I'm in the corner of the office. Not up in here. Jennifer. Yeah, you? They were doing it unknowingly. But if I'm knowing it's wrong, then I'm held accountable for what they do unknowingly. God gave me spiritual ears to hear in this house what ain't right in this house, and it's up to the head to bring down what ain't right. Where's the spiritual ears to hear the Lord? Where's the spiritual ears to hear the Lord? When you stay in communication, in prayer, with God, nothing will escape you. Nothing will get by you. Because you say, that ain't God. That's not the way God rolls. So Paul and Silas knew. They knew. And that's when the foundations begin to shake. And look how souls got saved in prison. It was so, y'all, so God, so the glory, that the guard said, kill me. You know, that reminds me of Isaiah when Isaiah saw the glory of God. He recognized how unholy he was. So when the prison guard knew it had to be God, just go ahead and kill me now because they're going to kill me for letting you go. And Paul said, we're all here. Now, Paul could have left, but God knew what he was doing. What did God do? He saved the house. He didn't leave the house like it was. So when you come in the house of God, it should be a change. It shouldn't be fornication still in the house. It shouldn't be adultery and lying and stealing and greed and all this stuff in the house. There should be somebody falling on their knees and say, God, I want more of you than I want this. If there's not change in the house, then the power of God ain't been there. Let me tell you what the real problem was. Let's talk about why Paul was in prison. First of all, Paul was called to Macedonia. The Spirit told him to go to Macedonia. When Paul arrived at Macedonia, they didn't have a synagogue for prayer. This is the first thing that Paul and them did. They went and found a place for prayer. And people met them in that place. I'm going back here. You got to have a place. You got to have a place that you meet with God every day, not for ritual. But God, this is me and your meeting place. This is why I meet you every morning and say, good morning, God. Would you like cream or sugar? Which way you want it this way, God? Some days you may just be standing before him. The next day you may be bowing before him. The next day you may be prostrate before him. But either way, you coming before him. It ain't no kind of special formula. If you sit before him, you before him. But you got a place, a prayer. So Paul and them found a place. And they began to pray. They began to commune together. And I believe he began to tell them about Jesus. And there was a woman named Lydia, a seller of purple. And this woman, she began to worship God. But the Bible tells me that she invited them into her home. But this is what happened. So after they had that place of prayer, Paul and Silas, in verse 16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer. Now remember, you have a place of prayer. You're going back to that place. Paul was met by a certain woman possessed with a spirit of divination. That's a spirit of Python. That's what that means. So they were met by this woman that had this spirit. Wonder why? Prayer changes things. They knew that the region apostle was being changed, and they had to stop the change because their way of getting money was being messed with. Let me use this church for an example. See, when you're holding on to God, and you're really holding on to God, did you know the spirit of Python can be read amongst you? See, Python want to squeeze the life of God out of you. That means it want to squeeze the breath. The breath of God is the Holy Spirit. He can't take the Holy Spirit from you. But he can put you in a stagnated position where the breath of God can't come through you, meaning that you can't even get a good well out your belly because he's squeezing you. Notice that when a python get a hold of you, he squeezes you in the middle part. And when he squeezes you, when you take deep breaths, he squeezes you even tighter because he knows that breath is the breath of life. Remember when God created man, he breathed into him the breath of life, and then he became a living soul. So the enemy said, if I can squeeze the very life out of you.
Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast on today. If you have a testimony on how this broadcast has truly blessed your life, please call us at 866-907-6836. If you would like a copy of the teaching in its entirety, you may contact us at 866-907-6836. You may write us at Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 1042, Bergall, North Carolina, 28425. Visit us on the internet at www.mtdm.org.